he might be trouble in the future. Prologue. The future. This story starts, like all good stories do, a long time ago. What do you mean? That's how the first book started. No, it isn't. Well, okay, I'll check. Hang on. Well, what do you know? You're right. We can't have that. I'll change it. How's this? This story starts totally, completely, ginormously differently to the first book. A long time in the future. You didn't see that coming, did you, smarty pants? The future isn't much different from the now. Future kids still go to school every day. And yes, future kids still have to eat broccoli and peas, and brush their teeth, and say please and thank you, and wash their future belly buttons, and not pick their future noses, or eat future bogies. None of those things have changed in the future. There is, however, one absolutely whopping great big difference. In the future, there is no Christmas. I know, right? Let's take a look. It was a totally ordinary winter's evening in the future. Super awesome flying cars were whizzing overhead on the skyway that weaved in and out of the stratospheric starscrapers. Buildings so tall that their tips tickled the beginning of outer space. And a soft sprinkling of snow was settling across future London. All of a sudden, the snowfall began to thicken. It didn't thicken evenly all over the city, though, as you'd expect. Quite the opposite, in fact. It began to snow heavily in one very small, very precise spot on a quiet little alleyway called Thistle Lane. In just a few seconds, the snowfall was so heavy it began to pile up on top of itself, creating what looked like a mini mountain. Then, just as suddenly as it had started, it stopped, leaving a big white mound of snow in the middle of the lane. Puff! A fist popped out of the snow pile. Then, puff! Another fist. Next, this two-armed pile of snow began to shake and wobble until it fell to the ground, revealing a young boy with curly brown hair, his wheelchair covered in dinosaur stickers. You know him already, of course. William Trundle rubbed his forehead and looked around the quiet street. Hello? Where am I? No, when am I? He asked. Because William wasn't alone in Thistle Lane. Beside him, in the shadows of the alleyway, stood a mysterious figure. But there was no reply. All the strange figure did was raise its arm and point one cold, slender finger at the end of Thistle Lane. Frowning, William quietly wheeled himself down the empty alley and turned out onto the main road. This was William's first look at the future. The air was glowing with brilliant, blinding light, blasting from enormous screens that lined the sides of the starscrapers. The tallest building, at the very centre, was topped with a colossal, dazzling letter P that eclipsed the moon and appeared to dominate the city. William tried to take in the bizarre sights and smells of future London, wanting to remember every detail. The people wearing smart future suits, busily walking to work, the traffic jam of flying cars looming over the city, the 20-decker buses with robot bus conductors. There was so much to see. But William's concentration was interrupted by whispering voices behind him. He turned and peered further down the alleyway. "Hello?" he called out. There was no reply. But the strange figure, who was still waiting quietly in the shadows, nodded once. William moved back along Thistle Lane until he realized that the voices he could hear were singing. There's no time like Christmas, it's the best time of year. Oh, how we miss it, now it fills us with fear.